RadioArchives.com presents The Denizen Document, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Denizen Document. Chapter 1. One Bullet. Streamlined and sleek, the car was expensive. So were the occupants in the back seat. The chauffeur pulled to the curb before the black onyx-decorated entrance of one of New York's fanciest apartment houses. The man in back kissed the girl lightly on the cheek. He was tall, handsome, and the gray in his temples gave him a distinguished appearance. It was easy to see that his suit and topcoat were tailor-made by experts. He said, 8:30 it is, Lois. That gives you 2 hours to dress, which indicates that I'll make a kindly and understanding husband. This will be one of our last dates. From Saturday on, it'll be one permanent date. Lois Lloyd touched her face with her slim hand.
Sometimes I wonder if I know how lucky I am, Paul. Why, I'll be Mrs. Paul Riker, the wife of one of our most important attorneys.
The luck is all on my side, Paul Riker told her with a grin. I'll send Fred around to pick you up. We'll have a cocktail in my apartment before we leave for the party. After all, I want you to get used to the place, seeing you'll live there from next week on. Riker climbed out of the car, tipped his hat, and then spoke to the driver. Fred, have your dinner, then call for Miss Lloyd at 8:30 and bring her here. Take her home now.
Yes, sir,
the uniformed chauffeur touched the peak of his cap. Riker watched the car pull away, watched it until traffic swallowed it up. He nodded pleasantly to the doorman, who hovered in the background, walked into the lobby, and asked at the desk if there was any mail. He picked up a small batch of it, went to the elevator and talked weather talk with its operator. On the 24th floor, he stepped directly from the car into the foyer of his apartment. It was fitted up in a style he believed comparable with his position and wealth. Two big bronze urns flanked the mosaic inlaid door. He unlocked it, passed straight into a medium-sized living room, a large one for a New York apartment, and carefully placed his coat and hat on a chair. He walked to a small bar, made himself a highball, and measured the whiskey judiciously. He never indulged in too strong drinks. He stood beside a Renoir, which he never tired of studying, raised the glass slightly to the woman in the picture, and smiled. This was life as it should be lived, and in a few days there'd be lovely Lois to share it. Lois was his idea of perfection, too, as everything he ever obtained was perfect. Women didn't come much more beautiful. At least Riker hadn't seen many eyes as blue, hair as light brown and well-arranged. She wore her clothes like a professional model. She was good company, witty and intelligent. Riker finished his drink and read the evening papers for half an hour. Finally, he arose, put his glass back on the bar, and was half tempted to have another drink.